Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start, as always, with the headlines you need to know, and it starts with a heavyweight battle. See what I did there? Former heavyweight world titleist Deontay Wilder told ESPN on Monday that he will definitely exercise his right to an immediate third fight with Tyson Fury. Quote, "We're looking forward to it. I'm a warrior and a true champion, and I fight like that every bit of the way. We're definitely going on with it." He did also, in the same quote, though, say, quote, "I paid a severe price because my legs were tired. Because of my uniform. My uniform was way too heavy. It was 40 plus pounds. So apparently the great outfit he wore into the ring made his legs tired. We'll see what that means. Next headline you need. Burrow burying all of the gossip. Joe Burrow stifled any speculation about avoiding the next stop in his career. He spoke today at the Combine. This is what he said.
"Yeah, of course I want to be the first pick. You know, that's every kid's dream. You know, I've worked really, really hard for this opportunity, and I'm blessed to be in this position, and a lot of people helped me get here. So I'm just really excited to be in this place."
He later stressed, "I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever takes me, I'm going to show up." Maybe this will lend some of that speculation. He refuses to play for the Bengals. And speaking of quarterbacks, the last headline you need, Tua's timing. We're getting a little bit more of an indication on Tua Tagovailoa. He expects to receive full medical clearance on March 9th. That's a date he's been looking at for a while. So remember, he won't participate in any on-field drills, obviously, at the NFL Combine. He won't throw, but he will have his own pro day April 9th. So at that point, we'll get more of an indication for somebody that could be as high as a top five pick, depending on what his health looks like. Those are the headlines you need, and that's Straight Talk Wireless, which has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Who doesn't like a deal? Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And as always, we want you to come hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This is what we're asking. Zion taking on LeBron tonight. All eyes going to be on this. You got the king versus the next king in the eyes of so many. But it brought up an interesting question as we were looking at the future of the NBA. We want to know, based on some of the First Take topics today, if you got to start your NBA franchise today for the next 3 years. So you're starting from scratch today. You only own it for 3 years. And you can pick any player to start your franchise with. Who are you picking? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want a current player. You got a 3-year window and you're starting from scratch today. Who are you picking? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, you can also tweet me some of your takes at Jason Fitz, hashtag First Take. We will read those. We'll get some of your thoughts as we continue. But many thoughts around the entire sports world continue to be about what we saw yesterday. If you tuned into this time slot yesterday, you heard Will Cain and I live hanging out with you during the celebration of life that was going on at Staples Center, honoring the lives of Kobe and Gianna Bryant. Now, as we all sort of decompressed from that, there are particular moments that stood out. Stephen A. and Max talked about some of their favorite moments from the memorial yesterday when they said this today.
"Nothing compares to the loss that she has suffered along with her children. Three little girls no longer have their father or their sister. She, as his wonderful wife, no longer has her husband nor her daughter. And the loss that she has suffered, it can't be measured. It's just incredibly heart-wrenching, and there is no other way to slice that. I don't know how on earth she gumptioned up the strength to step on that stage in front of 20,000 people and speak as eloquently, as beautifully about Kobe Bryant and about their daughter Gigi the way that she did. It was absolutely phenomenal. It really, really highlighted for me why it was so easy for him to be this girl dad, per se, because when you have a wife like that who has stood by him through thick and thin, who has been his rock, his foundation, she was everything to him. And he religiously said to anybody who he knew well enough to say it to that she was far more than he deserved in his eyes, because she was that phenomenal and she was the closest thing to perfection that he had ever known until his daughters were born. And so when you know that about him and to know how he felt about her and to know that, you know, you don't hear her speaking, you don't hear her talking very much or what have you. So you didn't know what you were going to get when she said, when she stepped up on that stage. For her to express herself in the fashion that she did was absolutely phenomenal. And I think that, you know, it touched everybody's heart, but it also put a lot of people at ease to some degree, because even though you find yourself mourning for her as well, you also found yourself a bit worried about her, because there's so much to consider because of her devastating loss. And then she shows you and puts her strength on display. And even though anybody associated with the NBA community and beyond is going to be there for her and her family in any way that any of us can, in the end, you sort of get the sense that this woman is so incredibly strong, that she's going to be okay. And then Jordan goes up there and he tells his story and he's funny, even though the tears are there. And Shaq with the M-E, there's no I in team, but there is an M-E. And that was hilarious. And Gino Auriemma talking about how he knew that Kobe was not coaching his daughter because she was open and she passed the ball. There was a lot of brevity that was brought to the situation and what have you. And so it was incredibly, incredibly touching, to say the least. And that's what you walked away from, just feeling a whole, just an amalgamation of emotions, Max.
Yeah, Vanessa's a boss. I mean, she's a champ. And yeah. And especially, there's no other way to say it. You know, if father is gone, then she has more to do, even more to do. And she, you could see her kind of growing. I don't presume to know what she's like before this, but you could see someone stepping up and being very strong at a time where her family obviously needs her. It was very impressive and moving, obviously. Molly, I'm with you. When she said we're still the best team, it was like,
I know. Max,
very
they've been
powerful.
Together since, and I don't want to cut you off, but they've been together since she was 17 and a half. Her entire adult life is with Kobe.
Yep. That was very powerful. And I think the thing that got me was the describing of the bedtime routine and how he would help put the kids to bed. Because if you're a parent, what you know is, the days are long, but the years fly by, as my mother says. And that bedtime routine is the way she described it and what Kobe did. And I have three daughters. I know what that's about. And getting those kind of details was, it was very moving. Jordan, of course, with the crying meme. And there was something about that. Kobe aimed for Jordan. He aimed to be the greatest of all time. And when the guy who he aimed at is there saying, hey, little, you know, he's my little brother, Kobe didn't need validation after 20 years in the NBA as one of the greatest players of all time. But Jordan, personal relationship aside, I think, and that was very strong there, understood what Kobe represented, and he felt the same way. That was really nice to see. And Shaq, Stephen A., the line that Shaq had about the M.E., that was a good one. The one that's going to get lost that I loved was the end of that story when he's telling Rick and everyone, he's like, just rebound the ball. He ain't going to pass. He ain't passing. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those descriptions of Kobe by the people who knew him and loved him and worked with him fleshed out this kind of three-dimensional portrait that you had a sense from Kobe already, but getting those details from those around him was something. And but like both of you, you cannot come away from that not thinking about Vanessa. What a powerful moment that was, and woman she is. That was very impressive.
You know, it was very, very difficult. It was a very difficult day for those who knew him and what have you. And the tribute was sensational. The Lakers organization, the NBA, the NBA community showed up and showed out in full force. There's no question about that. But I also wanted to take a moment to say this, because I think it's very important. Nobody's brought this up for days, if not weeks. I brought it up once on First Take. I'm going to bring it up again. Regardless of what stuff has been in the news and all of this other stuff, we need to understand that Kobe Bryant is gone, and we're here for his wife, his children, the whole NBA community, no question about it. But Kobe Bryant has a mother and father. They were in attendance, and nobody has mentioned them on the air, off the air, at the ceremony, et cetera, et cetera. I understand nobody knows the details. I don't particularly care at this particular moment in time. It does not matter. But it is important to remember a lot of times that, you know, what goes on in people's houses, their business. And there's a mother and a father that was in attendance. There's two siblings that lost their brother. There's two sisters that lost their brother. And there's a mother and a father that lost their child. And no matter what went on or whatever, you know, tension existed or whatever the case may be, look at Joe Bryant's face when the cameras were on him yesterday. Look that look at the pain in that man's eyes. Look at the pain on his face. His son is gone. And I think that a lot of times, you know, listen, we should mention Vanessa, and we should mention those wonderful children that he's left behind. There's no question about that. But I do think it's important to remember he had a mother and a father and two sisters.
On top of that, I'll add that I think what Vanessa Bryant was able to do yesterday, speaking in such an heartfelt way, was remarkable, because let's remember, Vanessa Bryant is not a public speaker. She's not somebody that spent her whole life in front of a microphone, but in the hardest moment imaginable for a mom and for a widow, she stepped up and not only held herself together, but really gave an incredible touching moment that will become part of the legacy that we remember Kobe by. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today. Find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Again, what we're asking you today, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm letting you run an NBA franchise. You got three years. That's your window. It starts today. What current player are you starting your franchise with? You only have 3 years. That's it. We want to know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I can tell you already, some of the callers, shocking answers. We'll get you some of their take. But before we get to that, today was obviously a big NBA conversation for the guys as they continue to look at where the Clippers are. Does a win over Memphis prove that the Clippers are just fine? ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins joined Max, Molly, and Stephen A. as they broke down Memphis versus LA.
The Clippers are elite. They are legit. And nobody's dismissing that. But where I get irritated with you, and specifically, more importantly, a lot of people out there, is that, you know what? You get to sit up there and look at evidence and judge accordingly moving forward based on championship expectations. You know, a regular season game against the Memphis Grizzlies last night doesn't amount to much, nor does the three-game losing streak that they had incurred prior to last night's game. It's not about that. It's about what you're seeing while the games are taking place. That's what you're looking at. If I sat up there and I saw, for example, Max, hypothetically, if you saw Kawhi balling, right, and he dropped 30, but he was limping a lot against the Sacramento Kings. Well, then can't you fantasize about what he's going to look like if he were limping a lot going up against LeBron James or Anthony Davis, sure, or the Greek Freak? So what I'm trying to say to you is that it's not about wins or losses. It's about what you're witnessing. And what people out there don't realize that gets on my last damn nerves is that when people talk about, oh, just dismiss this and just dismiss that, what the hell with it? Why watch the games? Why not just wait till June?
Why can't you sit up? It's all about sitting there and analyzing and dissecting what you're witnessing before your very eyes and then prognosticating about what may take place based on the level of competition you inevitably are scheduled to go up against. We like the Memphis Grizzlies. We're pleased with them. What did I say about the Memphis Grizzlies when it came to Zion Williamson and the Pelicans? I said Zion could potentially win Rookie of the Year despite the paucity of games he has played if indeed the Pelicans ascend while he's balling, but the Grizzlies are struggling and Ja Morant fades. I don't believe that would happen, but it's possible. What has Memphis done? They're on a course of a three-game losing streak. They are now a game under 500, and they're loosening their grip on a playoff berth. If the Pelicans ascend, all of a sudden, we're having a different conversation. The same thing applies to the Clippers. You look at the Clippers, it's not about the Memphis Grizzlies. It's about the fact that you want L.A., right? But the Denver Nuggets are no joke. The Utah Jazz are no joke. The Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook getting some time off like he did last night, et cetera, et cetera. These brothers are going to be fresh for the postseason in all likelihood. What do you expect to see?
Gentlemen.
And if you see a Clippers team that doesn't seem to be together, it's going to be a problem.
I want to get in our former player here. Kendrick, talk to me.
Hey, we're going to change Stephen A.'s name to Stephen A. Jakes because he's speaking the gospel right now. Listen, Max.
I love T.D. Jakes.
Max, are you serious right now? The Clippers are looking funny in the light. And if you don't notice that you're watching the Clippers and you're in denial right now that they're struggling, although you could say health or whatever and we don't look at regular season games and this don't count, disregard that. No, they're looking funny in the light. And let me tell you something. Paul George is having one of his worst careers right now for scoring wise with the Clippers. Right now he's shooting 42% from the field. He's averaging 20 points. He's not the PG that we seen last year. And right now the Clippers are having problems. And to me, if they don't lock in that second seed, it's going to be a problem. Like Stephen A just said, you don't want to start off in the second round or maybe in the first round on the road having to play a Denver Nugget team or Utah Jazz team or a Houston Rocket team. So the Clippers have some soul searching to do, in my opinion. And for you to sit up here and say you're not worried, come on, Max.
Perk.
Come on, Max. Come
Perk.
On, Max.
But what you're talking about, let's be real about this. What you're talking about is just injury. You're just saying if Paul George is healthy. Paul George has not been healthy. That's why the season hasn't been going great for him. Period. If Paul George is healthy, and this is why they load-manage Kawhi, and this is why Kawhi load-managed himself last year, as long as you're healthy for the playoffs, Perk, you know this as well as anyone, better than most, because you've actually been there. The playoffs are a whole other season. You know more or less how it's going to go a quarter, third way through the NBA season, who's going to be seated where, more or less. The playoffs can last 2 months if you win the chip. So as Paul George is healthy for that and Kawhi is, the Clippers are going to win. And if they're not, they're going to lose. But it's not like they got to do soul searching. PG-13 just got to be healthy.
But Max, are you like, don't act like PG-13 don't have a name called Playoff PG. Like he has a history of disappearing. So let's not sit up here and just make it like Paul George, you know, he steps up in the big moments in the playoffs. So, like, I mean, what are you talking about?
Oh, Kawhi's there for that. Kawhi got him.
You talking about the same Kawhi Leonard that last year in the finals that people don't even talk about had shot 14 for 40 in two of those games, that same Kawhi Leonard?
What about the other games, though?
I mean, I'm just saying, don't act like Kawhi Leonard didn't have a solid team around him. Van Vliet was big in those playoff series. Lowry was big.
Well, he got
big.
A solid team around him now, too, that's the point.
No, but Max, don't just be in denial about it, though.
KP, let me get on you about something here. Let's not say that Paul George has a history of disappearing in the playoffs. He averaged 28 in the postseason last year. 2 years before that, he averaged 28 in the postseason. I'm not saying that his numbers are always pristine because sometimes his shooting percentage has been questionable. A couple of years ago, I think he shot like 38% from the field in the postseason, although it was better two of the last 3 years he's been in the postseason. But this dude doesn't exactly wet the bed in the postseason. Paul George has shown up in the postseason. Paul George is a star in this league when healthy, and I don't think that we can summarily dismiss
real
that.
Quick,
Stephen A. We gotta leave it there.
Real quick, for both of you, for Perk and for Stephen A. and for everyone else who's doubting the Clippers, you know how sometimes Shaq and Kobe are on the same team? You go, whatever else happens, those two are gonna win. That's what I'm saying about Kawhi.
Okay.
He's got a real coach, right, a real team, and a second banana. He's gonna win.
We hear Kendrick, you. You're unequivocal for a change. Congratulations.
First Take, Your Take, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. We're asking you, if you get to start your NBA franchise today and you only got a 3-year window, you can start with any current player. Who are you picking? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got people so fired up about this. Sean Farnham, ESPN basketball analyst, just stopped in the studio to give his take. So I want your take on this. Chris, in Texas, all right, you got a 3-year window. Who are you picking to start your franchise with?
I mean, who do you think? Luka Doncic. I mean, you know, you got, I get it, you got Giannis, but I think he's kind of where he's going to be. Look at the progression that Luka made from last year to this year. What is he going to do in the next 3 years? Obviously, the progression level won't be the same, but I think he gets his team involved, he rebounds, he scores, he can do anything you ask him to.
And look, I don't disagree with any of that. I will say this. I was just talking about Luka Doncic with somebody, and when I covered SportsCenter on Snapchat, we do a lot of NBA rips. Before Luka ever got to the NBA, we were doing nightly rips on Luka's career so that everybody would know who the top pick in the draft should be. I've been watching Luka for a long time, and I am a massive fan. But let's not get it twisted about progression. Giannis Antetokounmpo is better today than he was a year ago, and he was the MVP last year. So I'm just saying Giannis is also ascending. We're going to keep getting your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get more of your take on First Take, Your Take, as we ask you. You get to start your NBA franchise today. You got a 3-year window. What current player are you picking up? We're going to get more of your take. Plus, Deontay Wilder talking about his costume as being a reason why he lost the fight. Are you buying it? We're going to hear what the panel had to say, and it might surprise you. We'll do all of that, but first, this might surprise you too. Every night, local police departments across America get hundreds of calls about burglar alarms. The crazy thing is the vast majority of the time, they have literally no idea if the alarm is real or if there's even really a crime going on. All the alarm company gets is a notification that says the motion sensor went off. That's why Simply Safe Home Security is different. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. They can look at it right then. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. And you get comprehensive protection for your entire house. Outdoor cameras and doorbells get alert you to anyone approaching the home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all there. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. And this is really important. If you're like me and you're not handy, you can set up your system yourself. No tools needed, thank God. Or Simply Safe can do it for you. And you know I love a value. It's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. All you got to do is visit Simply Safe. That's simply with an I. SimplySafe.com/fits. And you get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Go now. Be sure you go to Simply Safe. That's simply with an I, safe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. That way they know that you came from First Take, Your Take. It's simplysafe.com/fits. Is Deontay Wilder's explanation Simply Safe? We'll hear what the panel thought next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're asking you today, since Zion and LeBron taking each other on tonight. All right, you got 3 years. Your window starts today. You're starting an NBA franchise. You got a 3-year window. What current player are you starting your franchise with? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Getting a bunch of tweets, a lot of different calls. We'll get some of your take in just a second. Before we get to that, don't forget to download the Vivid Seats app and a promo code ESPN25 at checkout. You get 10% off your next order. Don't get any seat. Get a Vivid Seat. A lot of people had a Vivid Seat to the boxing matchup over the weekend. I loved every second of it. But one of the best parts was the intros, as everybody's coming down the aisle and getting ready for the fight. Well, Deontay Wilder's quote, "I paid a severe price because my legs were how they were because of my uniform. My uniform was way too heavy. It was 40-plus pounds. We had it on 10 or 15 minutes before we even walked out and then put the helmet on. That was like extra weight. Then the ring walk, then going up the stairs. It was like a real workout for my legs. When I took it off, I knew immediately that game has changed." Now, I mean, I'm just going to say that thing was custom built, right? It was custom made. So you would think some point in the process of being fitted for his custom outfit, he might have realized how heavy it was. But It's not just my reaction here. The First Take panel obviously had plenty to say. Stephen A. and Max had plenty of thoughts on the costuming effect for Wilder.
Max Kellerman, Molly, I'm very fond of Deontay Wilder. I've spoken to him on several occasions, you know, away from the boxing arena, whatever. I really, really like him. So I hope that he accepts what I'm about to say in the spirit that it's given. This might be the most embarrassing excuse that I've ever heard for a guy losing the fight. I am not questioning its validity, Max. I'm not saying that it may not be true. I'm not questioning. He's an honorable dude. I will take him at his word. But my God, this is just not something you publicize. The outfit that you wore to the ring wearing over 40 pounds is why you think you lost this fight? What the hell you wear it to the ring for? According to the reports, you tried it on the night before. You knew how much it weighed at that particular moment in time. Why would you do that? Why would you go? I understand it's Black History Month and all of that. You know, honor everybody by going in the ring and winning, not by going in the ring with an outfit on, for crying out loud. That ain't what wins you fights. OK, so why? And if you're going to wear something, wear the same thing you always wore, as opposed to something this different, experimenting in the biggest fight of your career. That's number two, Max. Number three, he just got beat up. He got beat up. Now, I give him credit. I didn't see. I thought his legs were going in the first round. He says by the round and round two, my legs were going. I thought it was going in the first round. He just looked out of it. No question. But to publicize this excuse, it's nothing short of embarrassing. And then we're hearing, Max, you want to get rid of Mark Breland as your trainer because, you know, you're hearing that he was listening to some fight in the crowd and all this. Deontay Wilder, I don't know if anybody's told you this. I thought the fight should have been stopped two rounds earlier. I thought they could have stopped it in the fifth. I thought they could have stopped it in the sixth. I thought Mark Breland waited too long. So when you say that he's probably not going to be in your corner, and then you read the quote, listen to this quote, Max and Molly. I'm going out on my shield. I'm a warrior. If I say I'm willing to kill a man in the ring, then I'm willing to abide by that same principle as a warrior to die in the ring. Deontay Wilder, that's not what the trainer's supposed to be about. The trainer's supposed to be about not just training you, but saving you. I mean, what is it, Eddie Futch, Max, with Joe Frazier against Ali? And wouldn't
Ali,
let him
15th round, thrill in Manila, wouldn't let him out.
And, wouldn't let him, and what did he say? He said, I care too much about this man and his family to let him go out for that last round. That's not the trainer's job to sit up there and let you die on your shield. He's supposed to protect you. So that's all I wanted to say about it. Max, floor is yours.
First of all, I want to address the Breland thing. Breland probably did the right thing. But I see Deontay's point. He could be mad. Hey, I'm a huge puncher. I'm willing to die, is what he's really saying, to be great. And in this is not a prelim. This is a heavyweight championship of the world, right? So usually the trainer will give you a little more latitude. That said, you're right. The fight could have also been stopped. I understand if Breland would have waited a little more. I also understand if he would have stopped it before he did. You're right. It depends what your tolerance is for a fighter's risk in a championship, in a heavyweight championship fight. That's not a popular opinion I have, and I'm usually the one screaming for a fight to be stopped if a guy's taking punishment. But I think that context matters, and that in boxing especially, to be great, you have to take great risk with your health. And I think fighters are allowed to say, I want to dare to be great. But you're right, the trainer's there to protect them. That's not a fireable offense, what Breland did. Certainly not. He probably did save him future kind of health issues when he stopped the fight when he did. Okay. It's a bad look, Stephen A. And you're right. It's hilariously bad to blame it on your costume, even if you think that's true. And Deontay's the type of dude who afterwards said, look, the better man won tonight. No excuses, but he said no excuses right after he gave this excuse about his legs. And the reason I think he did it is the same reason that Muhammad Ali, who took the first loss against Frazier very well, but also said, hey, I thought I won more rounds in that fight. He didn't. Or Julio Cesar Chavez, after he got a lucky draw against Pernell Whitaker, who really beat him. I'm talking about undefeated fighters who couldn't really accept the fact that they'd been beaten, that the other guy was better than them. Deontay is so proud. He's going into ego protection. He's looking for reasons he lost because his brain can't accept that dude's better than me. And the way the fight went down, Stephen A., there's no reason for a third fight. Everyone knows Tyson Fury's better. Does anyone think Deontay's going to win? Now, we'll be on pins and needles because that's how hard Deontay hits. He always has that puncher's chance. But no one's going to be picking Deontay in a third fight. And it was so thorough a beating that now his ego, I think he needs to, he's grasping stuff. Do you know Emmanuel Stewart, whose nephew trained
yes.
Tyson Fury for this fight, Sugar Hill? Emmanuel Stewart used to tell me, and he believed it, that the reason Tommy Hearns lost to Marvin Hagler was he got a leg massage before the fight. Emmanuel told him not to. So his legs were rubbery. And I used to be like, come on, Emmanuel. Like, yeah. But he believed it because sometimes it's trainers, too. They have so much invested in being the better guy and winning. They're so right. competitive that they grasp for straws. This is Deontay grasping for straws.
But it's one thing to grasp for straws, Max. It's another thing to publicize that grasping for straws. I mean, my God. Deontay Wilder, he's got a nuclear for a right hand. He's always got a puncher's chance. This is his first loss. There is no question. Love Deontay Wilder, but you cannot come out publicly and blame a costume. You can't do that. That's just embarrassing. I mean, it's just embarrassing. You just can't go, my costume?
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. I agree with Stephen A. And remember, he had to be fitted for it. It didn't just appear. So he wore it at some point. I don't know why we're not paying attention to that. You should be paying attention to breakfast. Wake up to double the good stuff this morning. Get out. Get more out of breakfast. Start your day with 2 for $4 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price and participation vary. We're asking you, if you got to start your NBA franchise today, you got a 3-year window. Who are you picking? What current player are you starting your franchise with? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Next up, we're going to get your take on who you're starting your franchise with. We'll read some of your tweets and get some of your calls on what guy you're going with. We'll do all that next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys to chime in. You get to start your NBA franchise today for the next 3 years. That's all the window you have. Who are you picking to start that franchise with? You got one current player. Tweet me, at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of your take. But also, as always, when you talk about one player to build your franchise around with, that means you're going to have a conversation about Dak Prescott. Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones went on record saying there's no scenario where the Cowboys move on. His quote, I mean, Dak's our quarterback. He's our quarterback for the future, and we have nothing but the greatest respect for him. He's a competitor. He's won a lot of football games for us. Obviously, he, like us, we all want to take that next step and get into a championship game and get to the big game and ultimately win a championship. So there's no thoughts like that. He has made it clear that the Cowboys would not move on for any reason in his mind from Dak Prescott in 2020. So, now that we've seen those comments, the question is, what do Max and Stephen A. think? You know, if it's Cowboys, Stephen A.'s got something to say.
What you're trying to do is say, we believe in you. We're not trying to franchise tag you to keep you here for another year. You're upset. You're bitter. You know, you're not happy with us. But then we've got you locked in for a year. You don't keep a quarterback prisoner. You could do that with other positions on the NFL field. Can't do that with a quarterback because there's so much that goes in to being an NFL quarterback that not just in terms of throwing the football, but running the offense and galvanizing the troops to some degree, that the minute that you turn Dak off to the point of no return, you've really jeopardized your franchise and you've given him a step back. And this is a guy that's completed 65% of his passes. He threw 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, threw for nearly 5,000 yards. He's not a scrub. He's not somebody that's not doing the job per se. There are other elements that come into the fray. He had the number 2 ranked passing attack, the number 1 offense in yards accumulated, number 6 overall in offense. What's the damn problem? Especially when within his own division, Carson Wentz has gotten paid, and within his own conference, Jared Goff has gotten paid. And again, Max, you keep bringing up how these other dudes have gotten paid, and where does that leave them? But you're missing the key point here. This is the National Football League. You have a right to cut salary. You have a right to restructure deals, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about Dak Prescott because of his character, not just his game, but his character, representing that brand that is the Cowboys, being as dysfunctional as they can be. You can pay him, Max, and then come to him a year from now and go like this. We need you to restructure. We need you to work it out. But you give him that option.
I got it. Reasonable people can agree to disagree about whether you pay a quarterback. I think quarterbacks are overpaid. For Mahomes, give him a blank check. Everyone else, let's negotiate. But let me ask you this. It seems to me that you believe the Cowboys will cave and give him the big deal, correct?
I don't think it'll be $40 million a year, but I'm talking Carson Wentz money. Yes.
Right.
I agree.
If they would have offered him Carson Wentz money in the beginning, and you know they didn't because they never released the guarantee. They only ever talked about average annual. That's what leaked out. We never read what's Dak's guarantee. If Dak was guaranteed Carson Wentz money, you don't think they'd have gotten a deal done by now. So my point is this. If they eventually are going to cave anyway and give him the big deal, what was all this about? Why would they drag him through this process?
Because
why are the Cowboys in turmoil? Why?
Let me answer it. Here's why. Because you wanted to for him to go out there and prove under duress he could still perform. When we look at the Dallas Cowboys last year and their struggles, although he wasn't elite, the reality of the situation is there's a plethora of things you could point to that led to the Cowboys' demise before you get to Dak Prescott. That defense wasn't as stout as it was supposed to be. Those linebackers, we lamented them all year long. Leighton Vander Esch got injured. Jalen Smith wasn't himself. Sean Lee, he's injury prone and what have you. You had some question marks. You had some questions about other guys and their ability to get to the quarterback. You had questions about their corner. You had questions about who the hell is a defensive coordinator, for crying out loud. You had all of those things going on. Then you're on the offensive side of the ball. Well, is Jason Garrett calling the plays? Is it really Kellen Moore? And if Kellen Moore is calling the plays, what role does Jason Garrett play? Why did they forget about Ezekiel Elliott, et cetera, et cetera? There's a whole bunch of things that came into play that led to the Cowboys' demise. And so if you're Stephen Jones or Jerry Jones, knowing that you sent Dak Prescott into that Lions den, making $2.1 million and clearly upset, but still nearly threw for 5,000 yards. Now you saw something that you may not have seen last year, Max, to answer your question.
All right, I want to give Tory the last word here because we'll have more on the Cowboys later, the three of us.
I mean, the Cowboys made the mistake. You know, you can't say you want to be married to someone long term and not talk to them. They haven't spoken in 6 months. You got to show them you love them. He earned it. He's represented his organization well and paid the man.
If you missed the first hour of First Take Your Take, go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with the rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A. member FDIC. What we're asking you get to start your NBA franchise today. Your window's 3 years. What current player are you picking to start that franchise with? Brad in North Carolina. I love this answer. It's a little bit surprising. Let's get your take on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pascal Siakam.
Okay, why?
Well, he has the experience. He won a championship last year. And in my opinion, he's kind of had that Kawhi Leonard trajectory. He's increased his points per game every year. Every stat, his assists, his points, rebounds. And he has that championship experience. And the Raptors have already believed him. They signed him to an extension, I think like 4 years, $130 million. So they're a franchise that believes in them in the long term. So that's what I'm going with.
Well, look, and Siakam, there's been the joke, might be actually one of the few players that could get the NBA's most improved player back-to-back years. Twitch on Twitter, Feed Gurgle, says, I would easily start with Jason Tatum. He's only in his third year, just recently put up 41 against the Lakers at Staples, getting a lot of votes for that. Fleece Johnson says, I'd start my NBA franchise with Ivica Zubac. Like, that's a surprising answer there. Getting several tweets for Giannis, which I thought would be the runaway winner here, but that is not the case. And also, a couple of tweets for Steph. Where's Steph Curry in this conversation? Keep your tweets coming. Who'd you start your NBA franchise with today if you got a 3-year window? Plus, we'll ask you next, who's had the more impressive rookie season, LeBron or Zion?